In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So what are we doing when we come to baptism, or you may know it as christening, in Christian church? The Greek word for baptize, baptizo, means to dunk. It's what you do with your tea bag. You dunk it, you saturate it. But it's come to be a Christian symbol of a watery grave. Now, that may be a little bit difficult to imagine later when I pour a little bit of water over Oliver's head as we baptize him. But prior to being in the Anglican Church, I was in the Baptist Church, and we did it properly. We had a big tank with lots of water, and I only slightly jokingly said that I used to hold people under long enough until they really said they were becoming a Christian, and then I'd let them up. But here in our Bible reading, Jesus has come to the River Jordan. Now, it sounds grand. I've been there. Has anybody else been and seen the River Jordan? Yeah? It's just a stream, isn't it? It's like the brook at the side of the church. But what was going on? I'm going to concentrate just a little bit on the first part of the reading. The idea of Jesus coming for baptism, or we could explore that with a PhD thesis. But why were these people coming to John the Baptist, who'd come out of the desert, was baptizing people for repentance, for the forgiveness of sins, for basically saying, we're broken? And as we look around, don't we see that humanity is broken? In the secular age that we're in, I don't know about you, but I go into bookstores and I see self-help books lining the shelves, different gurus, different people saying, this is the way that you can help yourself to stop being broken, to stop being damaged, to fulfill your true self. You can try it. Now, I'm not saying that there's not a place for things like therapeutic counseling and self-work. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Rome, says, be transformed, be changed by the renewing of your mind. And there's definitely a place for that. But I don't know about you, but if I look in myself and think that I can solve the brokenness both of myself and the world around me, I'm very quickly disappointed. I think it's important for us to hear this morning, and friends who are with us regularly, for us to hear it again, that as we come in baptism, what we're doing is we're acknowledging that we can't change our own brokenness, no matter how hard we work, how many self-help books, how many podcasts we listen to. And we come saying we need someone, something else to do the transformation for us. Christian faith, we believe that that's God through the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of his Son Jesus Christ and the coming of the Holy Spirit. But we come humbly, and the acknowledgement is we come humbly and say we can't do it ourselves. God, will you do something in us? And the rite of baptism is an outward expression of that. I talked about a watery grave. Again, Paul, writing to the church in Rome, the young church, said this. What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? Let me just qualify that. I'm using Christian jargon, so let me explain it. Mercy and this isn't an academic definition, it's my Graham rough shorthand. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. How can we who have died to sin, brokenness, go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus have been baptized into his death? We are joined with Jesus, the death on the cross. Therefore, we've been buried with him in baptism and raised from dead by the glory of the Father so that we can walk in newness of life. That's what we're doing today. We're praying and clinging to the Christian hope that as we come and Oliver's baptized and Natasha and Chris encourage him in that faith with the support of godparents and sponsors, that he will go on that journey of dying and being raised to new life and transformed. So that's what we're doing.